Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sarah, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Fast. Alongside me, just like every single week, is manager Jacob. What's up?
Cheryl, what is up?
I'm going to start throwing curveballs, like, you know, just so I don't just jump into it all the time.
I was
time.
Almost not ready for that.
Yeah, just like a vibe what? Check, general vibe check.
Both of us were in New York.
Both
recently.
Of us, we did not meet up.
We like, I feel like we were probably cross paths pretty
closely.
Well,
when you were in the West Village, I was definitely, or like West Village into Tribeca, I was definitely there. The funniest part is, though, before we get into like what we did this week, Jacob literally texted me. This is the text I get, what, like midnight? Yo, are you at Taylor Swift's apartment? As if I just stand out there every time I'm in New York. And I went, no. He goes, well, I just saw Joe Jonas walk by there.
Okay, I have come to realize Joe Jonas was actually in Los Angeles on the weekend.
Wasn't
but
him?
Do you know who I did pass by who was carrying a piece of art in like five bags? Neil Patrick Harris.
Well, why did you not take a photo and send it to Dumois for Sunday Spotted?
I should have. It was on Sunday.
Yeah, why would you not? Well, yeah, it's Sunday Spotted. You don't have to spot them on Sunday. You just post. It all just comes out
on. He looked
on
like
Sunday.
He was in a hurry and I wanted
so
to be
cool.
So it
wasn't Joe Jonas after all of that?
Unless he flew back like for 2 hours. It was highly unlikely that it wasn't Joe Jonas. Although maybe it was like Frankie or something like that.
Frank? Okay, maybe. Okay, anyways. With that being said, since you didn't see Joe Jonas, what did you drink or eat this week?
Okay, this week, I have to give a shout out. They're from Guelph. It's called Revel Cider. I haven't actually had a sip of them, but I have had
But you're giving a shout out? What if
it
poisons
different,
you?
Well, this is a good point. I don't think it will, though. But I've had a few different products of theirs. There's a great wine bar / wine like store in Toronto called Grape Witches. They did a collab once, or they do a collab every year with this company, Revel Cider. And they put up a post, listen, the pandemic hit a lot of companies really, really hard, especially for smaller businesses. And it's tough to like stay afloat sometimes. Mm-hmm. They put up a really vulnerable post recently and they're like, listen, we might not make it more than probably a month unless we start selling some cider. So I bought a couple bottles and they're in my fridge.
And
I'm
you haven't tried it yet?
I'm going to break them out this weekend. I'm just excited to try it. So it's almost like a what am I drinking this week in the future.
In the future.
But their previous stuff has been really good. And they're just like really interesting people doing creative things with their cider.
I
a lot
love
of
that.
Cool collabs within like Ontario. So are I wanted to give them a shout out.
Are you a big cider person?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
really?
We're in like cider time. I love
cider
like
season.
Heat up a little cider a little bit. Put
make
a little cinnamon
like a
stick in it.
Situation?
Exactly. Make a hot toddy with cider.
That
big
sounds
time.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm not a big cider person, but
what about you? What are you
me.
Drinking this week?
I'm drinking Emergency.
Uh-oh. Should I like take a step back?
No,
here?
No, no. You're fine. It's more so just like a PSA for anyone. Okay, so like last week, I was starting to get a little tickle. I was starting to get a little like congested. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to New York. I can't be congested. I need to drink my face off. So I clearly have my priorities in check, first of all. But second, I immediately started drinking Emergency. I was drinking 2 packs a day. I don't know what the recommended dose is. Maybe read that on the thing. I know it was less than the less than the major amount I'm allowed to take. But it's so good. I just sip on it all day. And I swear to God, that's the reason I didn't get sick. And then I felt fine. I woke up Friday morning. I was like, oh, I can get on my flight
and
be totally
fine. You just
sit
there and sip on Emergency?
Well, it's like, I just put it in my water bottle. Like
you mix it with anything?
Water. Like it's a powder. Like
no,
you
I know.
Put it in your
I know,
thing.
I know. And it just doesn't taste very good.
Oh, no, but they have different flavors. I really like the lemon lime one.
Oh, and really?
There's, yeah, there's
oh,
like
I thought they
flavors.
Only had the orange.
No, there's different flavors. So there's a lemon lime one, and then there's like a purple one. I don't know what the flavor. It's
okay.
Not great, but it's like
that's
some sort
actually
of berry.
A good tip too, because you know we're kind of entering cold season
exactly.
Here, and or you're just feeling like a little rundown, and or I feel like a lot of people just aren't up on their vitamin C. 100%.
I think. I mean, I probably shouldn't just do it reactive. Like I should probably just like mix it in like once in a while just to have more vitamin C in my system. But if you feel like you're getting run down or like you're going to start catching a cold, drink a bunch of like Emergency and you'll be good to go.
This is a good tip. Sarah, what are we reading or watching this week?
I mean, reading, I can't talk about A Court of Thorns and Roses for like a third week in a row or else I'm going to like literally make everyone
so annoyed.
Did
you finish them all?
No, I literally have 300 pages left of the last book and then I'm going to cry because the next book doesn't come until 2025. Anyways, we're not talking about it. I'm watching Survivor. Survivor's back.
Oh,
did you
right.
Fall off Survivor again?
I have fallen off Survivor.
You were like
Survivor.
Heavy into
I was
it.
An OG. Like I probably watched the first 15 seasons. Didn't miss one
yeah.
And then I missed a few and then I was kind of on and off right now
yeah.
I'm off
but then like you were in it in the pandemic because we would talk about Survivor but then you fell
yeah,
off again.
I fully went to Erica's like winning party.
Oh yeah you did yeah you did so I'm back on Survivor. This cast this season is a little frustrating to me because I don't know if I love them or hate them.
Are
I'm
like
very confused.
Villains or just
there's a lot of villains like there's no one really for me to cheer for but I actually don't mind that because I've hated how nice everyone's been recently on Survivor. Anyways, what I do every single time I watch it, I always end up like Googling Survivor casting, like just the page. Cause I always,
would
up,
you do it?
I half fill out the thing and then I get to the portion that says make a video and then I don't do it. Cause I'm like, oh, I don't have time to make a video.
The person who makes like multiple videos a day can't
I
squeeze
go,
one in.
No, I can't. So maybe if I decide to clip this off as my official
should
Survivor.
Should we just do that? Should, for the next episode, we just, the intro is just your tape.
It's just my Survivor audition.
Play behind us
I'll
on
just
the
play this clip if they think I'm interesting enough to go on it.
Would you be a hero or a villain on Survivor?
Oh God, I think I don't know. I just know I wouldn't survive very long.
I feel like you're a Gemini. I'm a Gemini as well. I feel like you'd be maybe two-faced and like you would come off as a hero, but you'd maybe be a villain.
I don't know. This is the other issue. I'm a television producer. So like I know
well,
what
that's
kind of
what
good,
I mean.
I know what makes good TV and I wouldn't want to be bad TV. Right. I wouldn't want to be forgettable. So the issue is
that's
how
a
do you
villain thing to say.
How do you become memorable on Survivor? You backstab a bunch of people. And this is the thing. Now I watch it and everyone just ends up being like lovey-dovey, like they love you anyways, even when you get voted off. So now I think like you could be a villain and it doesn't matter. But I would just want to make the merge so I could get to decide who wins. I don't need to win. I just want to be
you want to be on the jury?
I just want to be a memorable jury member. Anyways, also say is I'm watching Survivor and I really like it. And there's another Canadian on it who's doing really well this
year. Oh, huge.
So maybe we'll get him on the pod eventually, nice. Caleb. What about you? What are you watching? Or you're definitely not reading anything, so what are you watching?
That's correct. I started 2 more books, but I've gotten like 5 pages in. I went to the movies last night, and I don't know by the time this comes out, because I have no idea when this movie was released, if it'll still be around. But you know what? It was a really good experience. I was a big fan, or am a big fan of this series, just like a fun mystery series. A Haunting in Venice.
Oh, okay.
Do you know like what were the other movies? There was like Murder on the Orient Express. There
I didn't
was,
know it was a series. I had no idea.
Yeah,
they were
it's all
connected.
One detective who like does this. Oh, it was something about one of them was on the Nile as well.
Yeah.
Listen,
okay.
These are not groundbreaking Oscar movies. These are fun. Go sit in the theater, have some popcorn, some M&Ms.
Turn your brain off.
Turn your brain off. Love chill that. Out and just like enjoy some twists and turns. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the movie experience as well. Haley was freaked out. Not at the movie, but at my Coca-Cola freestyle choice.
Oh yeah, you've talked about this before, though. Don't you like mix like random things together?
I went in there and I went
rogue.
I stuck to the Sprite family, but I went regular Sprite. It was a grape Sprite.
That's disgusting.
And it was either orange or tangerine Sprite.
Tangerine
as well.
And grape together?
Yeah. And it was so good.
That's
it
disgusting.
Was delicious.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, but anyway, it was a good experience.
So if you were a billionaire, would you be someone with one of those not tangerine machines, one of those Sprite freestyle?
If I was a billionaire.
Coke freestyle machines in your house?
If I was a billionaire and I had a five-story mansion, I would have five of those machines.
On each floor, so yeah. You never have to go too far yeah. to get your Sprite. Amazing. What are we listening to this week?
Ooh, okay. This is a good one. We're kind of in the times of artificial intelligence, you know?
We're kind of in the times.
Have okay. you tried the Spotify DJ?
No.
It's like an AI DJ.
No, remember we talked about this with Shannon like forever ago, back in like January or February.
Did we really?
Because she was like saying that, yeah, AI was starting, like that had just come out. And it was like, she's like, okay, AI is going to go for my job.
True.
So anyway. So
I finally got the feature and I like dove into using it. It's really hit or miss. I don't really care for like the in-between parts. But I do like...
What do they do? Is it like their radio like the, DJ?
Like yeah, there's a radio DJ like, yeah, you like listening to Drake, so here's some Drake. And it's not very good. I wish you could like change the voice of who's speaking.
Oh,
my Siri, for example, is an Australian woman.
Okay.
And I would like that as my as Spotify your radio DJ.
It's the least I could do.
Spotify, if you're listening, let's get on that. But I do like the curation of like, the, typically it's like five or six songs. And if you enjoy it, you're not skipping anything, it'll just keep going.
Interesting.
If you are skipping, it'll totally change up the mood.
Mm.
So like this morning, for example, I was listening and I think it was like that Drake example. And I was like, I don't want to listen to Drake right now. So I skipped a few and then I was like, not feeling Drake. Okay, let's dive into something else. And then I put on some Sam Hunt. And I was like, you know what? This is going to be my vibe right
that.
Now.
I love that Sam Hunt.
What about you? What are you listening to?
I'm listening to 1999 Taylor's version of all tracks.
Huge.
Obviously. Because... she swept the Billboard top 10 again. She's done it again.
Did she really?
She did it with Midnights last year, and then she did it with 1989 Taylor's version. These are the best vault tracks that she has had. Anyways, also say is right now, currently, 1989 has the best vault tracks. Like, they're all so good. They all could have been on the original album.
Which is
album.
Your favorite?
My favorite is probably Is It Over Now?
Okay.
Which everybody else's favorite is Say Don't Go. My favorite, though, is It Over Now? But also...
My favorite is Slut. That's one, right?
Yeah, but... you clearly haven't listened to them if you think
that's
Slut's
the only
your
one
favorite.
I can remember.
Exactly. Slut is like, I think what we also expected Slut to be, we expected Slut to be more like banger, like upbeat, yeah. whatever. It's not. It's like a slow song. So.
That's what I thought. I thought that was going to almost lead into like a Reputation-y vibe.
That's for sure. I agree. But no, they're very Jack and they're all Jack Antonoff coded. Like you can tell yeah. he produced them. Like they all sound like Midnights, but they're so good. I
did
just
he
can't
produce
stop
it again? Like did he come back to do all the tracks again?
Well, he didn't produce 1989.
Did he write some of them?
No. He didn't start working with her until Reputation.
Oh.
Yeah. You okay. got to learn this stuff because we're hosting Taylor Swift trivia in
two weeks. I do have to learn this. This was actually embarrassing. When the album came out the next day, I texted Sarah. I was like, oh, Wildest Dreams is the new version is great. She's like, that came out last year. I was like, I've lost my cred.
Yeah, it was. That was rough. That was rough. But anyways, the vault tracks are bangers. You should dive into them and then you'll find out more than just Slut that you like. But
okay. Okay. What about somewhere you went this week, Sarah?
Well, it's somewhere we both went. New York City.
We teased this one. We were both there. We didn't see each other.
No.
What'd you do? How was your trip?
Trip was good. I walked a lot. Watched the marathon.
I always forget how much you walk when you go to New York City.
It's insane. Like, and like no exaggeration. One day we walked a full marathon. Like we walked 42 yeah. kilometers. And yeah, we walked a lot. We drank a lot of wine. Found some cool wine bars.
Ooh.
And we just like bopped around. Like found a random hole in the wall ones. One of them we took credit for it becoming. So there was nobody in this wine bar. It's just like the guy who owns it and like his two buddies.
Yeah.
And when we like... it like looks like a cute vibe, and it was just down the street from our restaurant we had dinner at. We wanted a little nightcap, so we'd go in, and he was so excited that we came in, and his friend was even like, oh, like, welcome, welcome. We come in, we sit down, and then literally, we just see all these people like peeking their head in the window,
oh,
and then all start coming
and
in,
like, oh, some
and we
people
filled
are in
the
here.
Restaurant. I think
well,
it's
you went
we were,
with like a bunch of people,
yeah, there was
too,
like
right?
eight of us. There's a lot of people. There's a big group.
You could get a, you could definitely get it. I could see that happening. Get a vibe.
So I think we kind of got the vibe going, which was lovely. Mm-hmm. I will say, the having an extra hour of time while you're out drinking
so nice.
In New York City so nice but I used that extra
sleep.
Hour of, oh you did
in the morning yeah I was
oh, in the morning
fucking okay. hung over
oh yeah same I used that extra hour to rationalize going to another bar
oh
my fifth bar no six that was my sixth bar of the night my sixth bar
oh wild hop. You got around
yeah we were in Chelsea we were in the West Village we went then to the East Village and then I went and got pizza back and it was just
we went to three or four places
it was a lot I was there is it's a humbling experience though watching the New York City Marathon extremely hungover so humbling
oh god yeah I was like, in Central Park sitting on like a barrier to the road or whatever needing to sit there and everyone's like just chugging through
yeah.
like making good times and I'm like
And you're like, this was supposed to be me.
This was supposed to be. It was actually kind of sad to see it, to be honest.
Oh, I'm
but
sorry.
I was also motivated for next year. So I come think February 21st, I'm getting my automatic entry. I'm clicking that button.
I think I'm going to be a 2025 marathon runner.
Mm-hmm. In New York, you mean? Or you want to go to New York? Or
I
want to
do a major. I want to not be in Toronto for it. I want to do
Berlin,
New York, Chicago.
Yeah, Tokyo, Boston.
Probably not Tokyo. The time change for Tokyo would fuck with me too much. But Boston, no. I can't qualify for Boston. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? Anyways, New York or Berlin are my one or two. And Jade said she'd run Berlin with me. And she's who I went to go watch in the marathon.
London would also be fun.
London would also be great, but it's apparently really hilly.
Yeah.
So I think I'd like a flat course ideally. So I only have to do it once, then never again. But anyways, what did you do this weekend?
Well, I also went to New York City. Yeah.
What did you do? I told you a bit about what I did.
Okay. Well, it was crazy because we went in like Friday. We got there Friday late morning. And then, or like right at noon,
I think. Side note, wasn't the weather not the most fucking beautiful ever?
Like, it was so nice. Lucked out. Yeah, lucked out. It was like hot.
Hot, yeah, it was nice.
Which was actually, I brought three jackets and I was like, maybe I could have got away with two.
Yeah.
But it was touring around. So actually, it was like one of the first times going to New York and we saw like a bunch of friends.
Oh, really? Like,
we
had that's nice.
Dinner actually with a few people from Toronto originally, or not originally, they're from Toronto, came to watch the marathon as well one night. Dinner with a few of Haley's friends that live there, met up with actually two of my other clients are in New York, so met up with them. It was fun. It was great.
It was good.
I like, we've talked about this before, but whenever I go to New York City, I like, and I think you're saying, you kind of like to experience it as if you almost live there.
Yeah, exactly.
And just like, yeah.
Bounce around. And when you're with friends, it makes it easier.
Exactly.
Okay. And last but certainly not least, what's something you did?
Sarah, I took a page out of your book and I was like, I'm not doing enough things. So I need to do some more things.
That's true. Jacob became a club promoter.
Yeah. I'm half a club promoter now. So I play soccer, or as they would say, football, because they're two British producers slash DJs, lads. A couple friends of mine, I've actually shouted them out on this podcast before and threw them in Jacob's Songs of the Summer. They're both amazing producers and now they're DJs as well. So we're throwing a live event. It's like a club night, a little bit of a rave, a little bit of like, we're calling it Just Friends is the name of the event. It's almost, I was thinking about it in the car on the way over. You know how like King West has all their clubs? And in my mind, if King West is just strangers, Just Friends is like a much more approachable night. If you want to come out, dance, have some drinks.
Also, it's on the east side, obviously, because where else would Jacob host an event? But it could be a good excuse if you're a Talking Fast listener, you're like, I've never gone east of the Don Valley Parkway before.
It's a great excuse.
It's a
to
great
come
excuse
out.
To like check out one of the 9 million east restaurants Jacob's talked about.
100%. Go to Lake Inez, go to Winona, something like that, and then come out to
if
Just
you
Friends.
DM Jacob and say, look, I want to come to this event, but I need an itinerary for the rest of the night, he will gladly send one back
I'll
to you.
I'll give you an itinerary for the whole weekend.
Exactly.
It's on November 24th. Tickets are in my bio, so go check that
out. We'll
put
it in the Talking Fast bio too.
Oh, amazing.
I'll be there if we want to rave together. I don't know. I haven't.
If you want to rave with
Sarah
Jenkins,
rave with me. Yeah, let's
friends,
go.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah, we'll see. You should have a stick and poke tattoo person there.
What about you? Something you did this week?
I got a tattoo.
Yes, right. Speaking of stick and poke tattoos, not stick and poke though.
It's not stick and poke.
For do a reveal. Video. Do a reveal.
For the video. Can you see? My second skin is still on it.
And for anyone just listening on audio, first of all, go over to the YouTube video to check this out, or check out Talking Fast.
Izzy's behind the camera telling me if you can actually see it.
Or Instagram if you want to see the actual reveal of Sarah's page.
Yeah, so anyways, I got a Mirrorball tattoo because I'm a basic Taylor Swift fan bitch. Anyways.
But you know what? It also looks cool generally.
It's just generally cool. I know. It looks vibey. And I feel like it represents like, I don't know, this era of my life for many reasons. It's got more deep meaning to myself than anything else. But you know, I showed it to the guy. I was walking appointment in New York and I showed him two examples. He was like, I can do it better. And I was like, great. I trust you if you're that confident. I loved it. It made me feel so at ease. And then he showed me the design. I was like, that's fucking sick. It looks better than
hurt.
No, I actually liked the feeling, which is the most concerning part.
Uh-oh.
I fell asleep during it. All my friends, the second I walked out, they're like, this is going to be like flash forward 1 year from now. And Sarah's going to have like 10 different
you
like patchwork
like
tattoos everywhere.
I'll
have a neck tattoo like Jacob. So that's why I'm saying, I'm like saying he should have tattoo artist at his party. So I'm like addicted 100%. Now. Anyway, so it's the first of many. But yeah, tattoo reveal on the pod.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, maybe at a live podcast, we'll do, you know what? I actually have a tattoo gun. I've been learning.
To do flat. You've been learning how to do tattoos?
I haven't really revealed this to anyone, but I have one.
I would let you give me a tattoo.
I'm figuring it out. I feel like in this, by the end, Maybe by the summer of next year, I'll be like good enough confident to actually do it. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to hold you to that. I first met this next guest because we were both featured in a random blog TL article about Toronto TikTok vloggers you need to follow. Since then, I've been lucky enough to follow along her creator journey, launching her own podcast, and seeing her become a more vulnerable version of herself online. If I ever need inspiration on how to spend a girl's night in or the most aesthetic items for my coffee bar, it's her page that I go to. I'm so happy she's here. Please welcome to Talking Past, Yaz.
Hi.
Welcome. Hi.
I'm so happy to be here.
How are you?
Great.
Did you know that you're one of like the creators I've known the longest out of like everyone?
Oh my gosh. Do you know that I was so scared when I met you the first time? It took me like three events where I saw you to actually come up and like say hello.
Okay. But then also there was an embarrassing moment where we had met and then I reintroduced myself to you, which was the most mortifying thing of my experience, which I vividly remember doing at the Charlotte Tilbury event 3 years ago. It still is ingrained in my memory because we had met and it was like one of those things where like, you know, someone's face, but you just don't remember their name. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, like it's Yaz. And I was like mortified. I think I went,
oh my gosh, do not remember.
Okay, thank God. Well, I just reminded
you. But it took me like three like skinny margaritas to even come up and like introduce myself to you. And I was like, hi, I'm Yaz.
Oh my God.
And you were like, hi.
I know, but you were like one of my first like creator friends, like one of the first ones. I think it's because we were both like the Toronto TikTok girlies that first started infiltrating that whole world of like, it was very like, I mean, Jacob's been a manager forever, so he knows, but there was like all the YouTube girls and the Instagram girls. And we were both just like, we make TikTok videos.
Don't know what we're doing.
Well, it also happened, we've talked about this previously as well, that like during the pandemic, events kind of shifted. They were obviously they weren't happening. And then post events was also like post TikTok blowing up. So exactly. That like everyone who was at these events now didn't know each other. There were a lot of like unfamiliar faces or new faces to like the Toronto scene, I guess.
That yeah, makes that's
it a little
true.
Bit more intimidating.
It ended up being like pretty split and it was like half the people have. So was TikTok how you got started as a creator?
Yeah, it was very unintentional. It was just me in my bedroom working a job in finance from home. So I was like, why don't I film me making my coffee in the morning? And then, you know, it just kind of turned into something.
Yeah, it was the same way. Did you ever have a like did you always have like a creative like bone in your body? Like that was more so what you wanted to do than business and it just kind of manifests that way? Or is that how you kind of discovered your creativity?
I think I always was that person that like if I went on a trip with my friends, I was going to send everyone like a montage video to like music and it was going to be very emotional.
I love that.
So I feel like it was just like finally an outlet that no one could necessarily see, but I could just kind of like post on. No one was really like on TikTok or like no one at least wanted to admit that they were using the app, I feel like at that point.
Right. Especially people you know.
That's such a good way of putting it. Cause do you know what? I'd probably just learn that about myself right now. I think that was why I felt so like okay just mindlessly vlogging. Because nobody was on it. I felt so old to be on TikTok and it was like nobody else was doing it. So then when like you blink and like you suddenly have like tens of thousands of followers and your friends are finally on the app, they're like, what the hell?
Well, okay, that's what I was gonna ask you then. It's like how do you deal with getting like posting content for yourself because no one's out there, you don't expect anyone to be watching is one thing, but then as you start gaining a whole lot of followers, that's a completely different. So like how was that transition for you?
It was honestly like overnight. I feel like I was just making these videos and at one point no one was seeing them and then consistently a lot of people were. But I was still at a point where no one was really doing anything with their TikTok audience and it didn't necessarily like mean anything bigger than just posting a video. So it felt very like safe and just like behind the scenes.
Yeah. Did you like, so how long into your like creator journey was it the moment that you realized that you no longer had to keep your finance job and that you made the switch?
I think that I was probably a year and a half into like posting consistently on TikTok and I had a few agencies come to me and say like, hey, you look like you're getting busy, like maybe you need some help. And I was like, I don't think that this is going to last. Like, thank you so much, but it's just a hobby. And then I think I finally got to a day where I was like, wow, this is like something that I can finally admit to myself that I want to do and that could be sustainable if I treated it the right way.
Were you happy in the job that you were at?
No. I talked about it a lot on TikTok. I think more than anything, I was working in finance. There was probably five women at the company and like probably 150 men. It was a very misogynistic environment and just somewhere where I no longer felt like I could be myself and, you know, be creative and then also be taken seriously at work. So that led to the shift.
What do you think was the biggest barrier then? Because you just said like you had to admit to yourself that you wanted to like do this as a job. What was the biggest barrier for like admitting it to yourself? Like just expectation or what do you think it was?
I think one part of it was, you know, growing up, being like taking school seriously, being in university, and then like also having Middle Eastern parents. Like my baba definitely had a different vision of like what success was going to look like for me. So I think admitting to myself that, you know, things could look different and it could still be successful and I'm allowed to enjoy a non-traditional career path if I want to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that success doesn't have to be in like the traditional realm.
Yeah.
No, I know the stress of like when you've just been so like school and it's so structured and it's so like, oh, if I do X, Y, Z, I'll get this grade and then I'm successful. If I get this internship at this and then at this company, then I'm successful. But then when you're suddenly working for yourself and you're at the mercy of an algorithm doing all these other things, you're then you're the definition of success shifts. So then how do you, I guess, manage now switching to working for yourself? How do you define success now for yourself?
I feel like it's already shifted so much during the time that I worked for myself. I think that at one point it was really quantitative and I was, you know, taking such a similar approach to how I would in finance.
Yeah.
I think that that led to me being a lot more down on myself and maybe not even putting myself out there or like in a place where I could grow or do anything better just because I felt comfortable. And then I think that it finally got to a place where if I was being like true to myself, as like corny as that sounds, and if I was like proud of what I was putting out there, then that was success to me. It didn't matter the metrics on some.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thing.
And has that evolved? So say after you left your, you know, your day job, did your content change at all? Did you feel more at ease for sharing stuff that's maybe more vulnerable, or like how has that evolved?
So much. I went to the office every single morning and probably at least like 10 guys would be watching my videos, and I'd hear them at like different corners of the office, and I'd hear my videos going off, and I was just like, that sucks. And I was like an account manager at the time that I left. So I had a whole team of people like working under me, and no one was taking me seriously anymore. And that hurt a lot.
Yeah, that's so unfair.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking bullshit. So then that, but then that also can like lead you to evolve and like be able to be more vulnerable and stuff online. Cause like, fuck those people. Like, who cares if they watch your videos now? That gives you more views and more money in your pocket.
Literally. Yeah.
But so, but did that then, so now like, cause I've seen it, cause I've been watching you for years now, that you've definitely shifted where you like share more about like insecurities now or like things, and which I think is really, really cool, because to be honest, I think you're one of the fucking coolest people that I know. But like also from an outside perspective, like when I do need inspiration for stuff, I go to your page. Like you're just one of those people.
Thank you so much.
But do you sometimes find it like an important balance that you have to bring in, as because you do like show like the aesthetic videos, like this aesthetic lifestyle, but do you feel some sort of responsibility to also show that you are still a real person as well?
Yeah, yeah. I think that I always felt that, but mm-hmm. I think that there was so much insecurity that I even like had as a person that was like chronically online, mm-hmm. like the fear of people actually being able to judge me or saying anything. Mm-hmm. And then I think I got to a place where I didn't feel like my content was authentic to things that I was genuinely going through on like mm-hmm. a day-to-day basis, and that there were so many things that I knew that other people could relate to that I was too scared to share.
Mm-hmm. What leads you to that, like that not breaking point necessarily, but it's a weird thing to be producing content but then also like seeing people react to it and then having to look at yourself through like the eyes of someone who's just a viewer online, and then seeing yourself in this third person way. Was there a breaking point of like what made you think I maybe, you know, be more vulnerable or make a change here?
I think I didn't like my content anymore. I wasn't proud of it. I think when I was scrolling and I was seeing other people's content, I kind of also understood why, you know, so many people didn't want to watch someone's video of their very busy day and their, you know, as people have been talking about lately, like going to their nail appointment and then going and getting groceries and mm-hmm. they're so tired. And like, that wasn't what things looked like for me, but it was all that I was sharing. Yeah. And I got the redundancy of that. So I think that it became important for me, if I wanted to continue to post and share myself online, to be more authentic and not just continue to go along with like what I was seeing other people do.
Did you see a consistency in the views too? Because I know that like Sarah and I talk about this all the time, and I talk about this with other clients as well. It's tough sometimes when things that are maybe a little redundant or kind of consistent are bringing in consistent views, and like you want to depend on them because you know you're kind of working off a structure that's going to perform well, but obviously like you're talking about, maybe it doesn't fit what you actually want to be sharing. Like, was there a little bit of that where you thought, if I break the mold, I might not mm-hmm. kind of have content that's performing as well, especially if you're depending on it from a financial perspective as well?
Yeah, for sure. I think like the vulnerability, like especially me getting up in front of a camera and like actually mm-hmm. talking to people and sharing either like something that I'm going through or an insecurity or just even recommendations, that was hard because I was so used to kind of, you know, shifting my content into a way where I really didn't feel like I was sharing too much of myself.
I was almost like anonymous. Judged. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I also know that in anything that I've done, you know, like from like business to school, if you're too comfortable, like you're limiting your success. So
100%.
It might take a while for a different type of content to like reach an audience and them to like, I don't know, be able to resonate with it, but they're going to get there, hopefully.
I feel like it has for you though. I feel like you've like your latest stuff has been super successful with you like being more vulnerable and like talking to the camera and like with the like texting on screen. You know what I'm talking about. You're typing text on screen. Izzy's going to hate me. I just hit the table. But did you take inspiration from any of that, or was that just stuff you had wanted to like, that style you had wanted to make?
And then I think it was always something that I wanted to do. I think like you and I probably both grew up in the, you know, age of YouTube and watching people making longer form content. And mm-hmm. I think finally people's attention spans have reached a point that you can sit and you can like talk to your audience and you can share with them, and they want to know people more as a human being than just as like a 10 second clip.
Exactly. Because it's like you can only do so much, I find, too. Even just like also like, I mean, you worked in business, like from a business perspective, like when you have to start looking at yourself as a business entity, like how many times can you just do like a 10 second sound that goes viral? And like maybe that will get a lot of views, but that's not necessarily what's actually going to drive community and longevity as well.
I did see on one post, which is kind of on the flip side of what we've been talking about, of like being really vulnerable on, you know, social media. I think it was on Instagram or maybe something or another post that I saw that you said not everything is for Instagram and you kind of have to keep some things to yourself. So like, where do you draw boundaries then with what kind of things about your life you share?
And then you ask her on a podcast.
I'm not looking for any tea or anything like
so
that.
Share
but
them
I just
here.
Mean like,
I'm kidding. No,
it's a tough boundary to set.
Well,
right?
It's my ever evolving thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, that's for a content creator is like, of course that's gonna be a tough boundary to set. But I think anyone probably listening is similar mm-hmm. where it's like there are things that maybe everyone holds back on sharing, and especially when you're making money off of it then too. It's like, okay, where do I want my line to be?
Mm-hmm. For sure. I think relationships, like in general, whether that's like friendships or romantic relationships. When I started on TikTok, I had a boyfriend. We have now broken up, but I had no idea that people were going to get attached to that relationship or feel like they deserved answers when we broke up, which is totally fair. Like, I have all of like my relationships that like I look up to, and I obviously like want to know things or like assume things.
Like, but everyone's nosy. Like,
yeah. But that was weird. And then obviously, like, I have friendships that are online, like people that are like doing like incredible things like on social media as well. And like people want to see those like relationship dynamics and stuff. And like that just puts like pressure sometimes on things. And then also you're kind of opening this door to people making like assumptions about you or kind of like creating their own narrative of like relationships, which is definitely weird. So I've kind of just learned to share things and the people that I love in a way that I feel just like complements them and complements my content, but is never like a focus point of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I always thought, like, and like you said, like we both grew up in like the YouTube era. Like, I never, like, I mean, because like we obviously, like, there was like YouTube couples and whatever. So I never like fully got it until I was like on the other side of it. Like, I always was like, oh, they're just complaining. Like, everyone wants to know about their relationship. Like, people deserve to know why they broke up. I don't believe that anymore. 16-year-old me though was like in the comments, like angry, wanting to know. But I even have noticed, like, as an example, if, because I mean, over like three, almost 4 years of sharing content, like maybe like the amount I want to share, like I decide to pull back. But then, oh, if you pull back in any relationship, whether it's a friendship, relationship, whatever, you then start to get the comments like, well, why aren't you with this person anymore? Are you guys not friends? Or are you guys not dating because you haven't been in a video in like 5 days or something? So I find that balance is like very, it's very difficult. So I know that you're not alone in that, because that's like the, it's the, the trying to be vulnerable and like authentic and being a real person, but then also having things that are just for you is like the weirdest balance of being a person on the internet. And I, like, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if there is an answer. I think we just, like, it's an ever-evolving, like, juggling of trying to figure out which of those actually work out.
For sure. Well, that's like Haley too. Every time we'll record a podcast, I'll go back. I'll text her and be like, guess what I just shared today? Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that.
So sorry, Haley. So we talked a lot about, you know, the kind of content that people want to create and where your lines are, what you're going to share. On the flip side then, and this is something that we've talked about a little bit on the podcast, but like I'd be curious to get your perspective on community building. Like, what kind of community do you want to be fostering online? What kind of audience do you want to be catering to? And yeah, what are your thoughts on how to build that and build a positive one, I guess, online?
That's such a loaded question.
That's what he's here for.
I feel like I've always really wanted to create an audience that I feel like I resonated with as a 15-year-old, 16-year-old. Mm-hmm. I think that there was so many things that I remember Googling or looking up on YouTube and just hoping that I would find someone that was going through those similar things and never necessarily finding the answers or feeling heard or seen. So I think really I just want to like connect with like the, you know, younger version of me or even someone that just feels like they resonate with me at my age and be vulnerable and just also give a sense of like confidence that you can kind of break out of whatever mold you thought that you needed to be in or had put yourself in.
And I feel like that also is a really grounding thing. Like, I always think, but like from a marketing perspective, like they're supposed to think of who are you selling this product to? I'm not selling anything, but it's like you're supposed to picture the person. So like I'm the same way. When I picture like who am I speaking to when I'm speaking to the audience, I'm speaking to like maybe 22-year-old Sarah. It's like always like I'm always like a few years behind.
Yeah, but I feel like maybe you're selling yourself, both of you maybe you're selling yourself, or you kind of said it, but selling yourself short a little bit on that, Sarah, because like that not everyone's doing that. Like a lot of people would be, a lot of content creators would put out content that's, you know, gonna resonate with whoever's gonna come and watch their piece of content.
Like, that stresses me out. More... I don't want that. I hate virality. I do. Honest to God.
But I think that's the question, right? Is like, that's where the line is. Is like, are you trying to create community or are you trying to create virality? And
if you want, and I'm like, and I know this because like, I know like your content too. Like, it's, if you want longevity, you create community.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the difference. And I think that, like, I'm sure you probably get a million questions about like how to become a content creator, or how do you become an influencer or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, I've never really known how to answer it because it's like so like just based in community building for me, at least, versus like viral video. Is I've always said, like, when I've spoken to classes and done any of this stuff, I'm like, if you want to do a viral video, like just do a trending sound. Like there's a formula. Like anyone can really like make it happen. But are those like views and likes and follows actually going to convert into like people that give a shit about you? Probably not.
Which is so funny because Sarah always says she hates, like when we first started working together, she wouldn't. Oh, I didn't like, I don't do it with any of my clients, but she wouldn't let me call her an influencer, would only be a content creator, which is so funny because I think that that perspective at the same time is what actually influences people. If you have a strong community, right, that like people look up to you as a big sister, you're producing content for like the younger version of yourself, for example.
Yeah, I know. I just really struggled with the word influencer because I think there's a negative connotation with it.
I think so too, but.
I think people just... Even myself, sometimes when I hear that word, I look at it as, you know, something that isn't as serious as when I look at a content creator. And if you're building a community and like creating, you know, videos, like you have so much production value to like what you create on like a day-to-day basis. And it's insane to me. I will never stop applauding.
That's
you
insane
for
that you're, I think you're talking about yourself because that's what I think about
you. Oh,
yeah. No, that's insane. No. Dude, do you know, okay, you like, I literally finally bought a fucking tripod. I finally bought one. I literally finally bought a tripod. I was like, wow, I've been a content creator for how long and I never owned a tripod. And I made one like aesthetic fall cozy night in, and I was stressed the whole time.
That
like,
takes
setting
time
it up.
And so, like, vision.
I, like, then I literally picturing in my head, I'm like, I'm picturing Yaz setting up her camera and cleaning her bathroom and then putting it all back and honestly, doing it. Like, how long does that take you?
It's like... an hour and a half, like whatever I feel like the time is of the activity. If I'm making one of those videos, as embarrassing as it is to say, it probably takes like double the time.
Yeah
But like I new appreciation. I was like, oh my god, I can't, this is why I do everything POV, because then I can just like, it can be janky and I can get away with it on purpose though.
That was one question I did have for you, because I just watching like your content, I was just like, everything looks so good. I'm the type of person that, like, if I have a video call meeting, I'm going to move, like, a pile of laundry that, like, is behind me on a chair or something. Is there a
pile of laundry?
Yeah, what's your pile of laundry?
So I do currently live in a two-bedroom, but no one would know that, and no one will
know that.
So wait, you have, like,
She has a closet. She has a meat closet. Hells yeah. I have a second bedroom that's my disaster bedroom.
This is a scoop on Talking Fast.
We just got the tea. No, I have a second bedroom, too, and for the longest time, I have friends that have come over and, like, I had no idea you lived in a two-bedroom. Same deal, because unless you watched the videos when I moved there months ago, no, you'd never know, because it's...
That is so funny.
I love that.
But like the thing too about a Toronto two bedroom, unfortunately in so many cases, is like that second bedroom was not made in like a livable square footage.
No. Right.
It's like a literal, like it's, I have like a day bed in there and the day bed just has everything on it. Like it's like the same example. Oh my God. Wait, I can't believe you have a second. I love that. That makes me feel so much better. Because that's how I am all the time.
Well, you need that PR room, right?
You need like, the PR room.
Packages.
I know. I think we're very similar in the way of like how we approach content and community and everything. So like if you're anything like me, I'm always thinking of like, what's my next era going to be? Or like, what am I going to evolve into? Because I'm never like going to just stay and like and stick in the same thing. So what is that next era, the next goal that you have for yourself?
I think the business kid in me is kind of coming back out. Right now, like behind the scenes, like I'm working on like developing a brand. So that's something that I'm really excited about. And I think that just kind of like sharing more of that like entrepreneurial type content and, you know, being more of someone in like a 9-to-5 day-to-day routine again has been exciting. And I'm excited to like share more of that. I also think, you know, like moving and that part of it, I love decorating. Like I love kind of like creating a new space. So I'm excited to be doing that very soon too.
Moving and decorating content does very well too. It makes me excited as well. I was going to ask actually earlier, has there been a ton of transferable skills for you, like being like a business kid and like working in finance to then like you being your own business? Because I wish I had that brain. I've only ever done creative stuff and I struggle with the business side of it.
I think to some extent, yes. Like I think that it definitely helped and I feel like a sense of relief that I don't think that my degree has gone to waste.
No, that's true. That's
with what I'm doing. Yeah. And I think my dad is feeling like a lot of relief there too. I think that just like a lot from even working in like a corporate environment for like the first 2 years of being in Toronto, I just learned so much structure and I learned how to like work with, you know, clients, different types of people. And I think that that's been really helpful as I've kind of like transferred into this stage of my career. Because it's at the end of the day, like you just are the brand or like you are the client and you're working with, you know, just a lot of different brands.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. What was the biggest transition then for you, like going that way, for you becoming the client brand than being on the other side? Was it weird for your brain to like switch?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think like an imposter syndrome to an extent to think that you like have value that you're bringing. I think also just like undercutting myself a lot of the time because I didn't think that I necessarily was, you know, worth what I was bringing to the table. Yeah.
And that's why you get good managers.
Yeah. I was going to say, probably that was helpful, but like what other strategies worked for just experience in it to like get over that imposter syndrome?
I think definitely having a team. I know that KJ was
like, we love KJ. Shout out KJ.
KJ definitely like helped me realize value in this industry and just kind of figure out exactly like where I wanted to put myself and learning. Yeah.
That's like literally having the best hype woman in your corner. Whenever I need like hype, I can just like message KJ and she'll hype me up. She's the best for that. No, but it's true though, because I think everyone does that. And that's the one like weird thing about the transition of like, especially when we don't actually talk about this a lot here, but when you start like actually making money off of like social media, like knowing how to value yourself is so bizarre. Because like for me, I come from the content production world where I value content at a very like dollars and cents. Like that camera costs $3,000 and then this table, like you do it based off hard costs and like how much a producer costs versus a value of an audience is in a marketing brain, which I don't have. And that's like a very different world. Cause then you're like, oh, it's like, what's the value of my word for me being an authentic creator? What's the value of my audience? What's the value of me only drinking one type of coffee for the rest of my life versus whatever?
And it varies sometimes like brand to brand too, you know, like, you know, hair product brand is going to be wildly different than if you're promoting alcohol or something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
What's the impact on your personal brand as opposed to, you know, just like you saying, producing a TV show or something like that? Both are hard in their own way, but.
What's been like a pinch you moment that you've had so far?
I'll pinch you.
I was like, that's not English. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Pinch me, pinch you. Go ahead.
I would say some of the brands that I've been working with like recently, I recently have done a long-term campaign with American Express, and that was insane. Just even getting approved for a card was a pinch me moment. So that was like, yes.
Like, I'm an adult.
But I think just working with brands that I like resonate with and that have always, you know, seemed like larger than life. I think as I've been able to grow, I've been able to be finally like really picky about like who I'm working with. And I think I always have been, but even more so now, I don't want to be putting out a lot of ads. I really only want things that I think are going to resonate with my audience and resonate with me and are things that I think are really credible. So that's been a big.
And that just also goes to like your brain being based on community building versus anything else, right? Because it's like your audience will call you up for stuff or they like know, they know you just as well as anybody else. So then like they know what would actually resonate with you or not, which is really cool.
And protecting yourself too, because like it gets tiring if you're just doing ads all the time for random brands. Yeah, even really if exhausting. They want, even if they have like show up at your doorstep with a truckload of money, it's not it's great, but it's like
you can only do so many moisturizers. You can only I'm do a big so many moisturizers
guy in the podcast right now.
I guess you are.
I think like the first time, you know, that I said no to a brand, like that it was like a check that I think a year ago would have been like a pinch me. And I was like, at the end of the day, like this just isn't something that I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna sell myself short on, you know, just making money today when I think that it's worth it more in the long run to have my audience actually trust what I'm putting out there.
And knowing like what you value, which in that case you value your audience and community more than the paycheck of
always
exactly, which is how you'll have longevity in the way that you'll be successful in any brand that you make down the
line. That's happened with a few clients of mine. That's such a good pinch me moment actually, because I've had that happen with a few different clients. There have been like really big deals that have been turned down, but that's almost like you're drawing the line in the sand for yourself, and then, you know, that probably throw the imposter syndrome out the window in that case.
My line in the sand was someone wanted me to put a shoe in the air and kick it and then do a transition. That was mine. And Jacob had to go, Sarah doesn't do transition.
We like the brand. We like the brand, but just not a good brief.
I want to talk about the brand that you're working with right now. Yeah. Tell me about Lip Kits, Miss Kylie Jenner, and your eyebrow kits. Tell me all about it.
Yeah. So I feel like with my content for the last year, I have like introduced, you know, makeup and things that I'm doing, but one brand that I've been working with like consistently and going to and loving, they have a eyebrow gel that I was obsessed with. That was finally the only thing that could hold up like my Middle Eastern eyebrows. So I was like, yes, this isn't a win in and of itself.
I love that.
They reached out to me and they wanted to like work together because I guess so many girls were like coming into the studio and, you know, purchasing that product because of me. And we like created kits together. So we're doing a brow kit that includes like a serum, which I love and has helped me a lot. And then also like lip kits, which just, it feels good to be putting something out there for my audience that I really believe in and like resonate with and have been using for so long that it is like a tried and true, not just my name behind something. So yeah, I'm working with HB Face on it. So
amazing. Yeah. I love that. That's so exciting.
Thank you.
That's like a good next step before you launch your own brand, which I'll harass you about later because I want to know more about that off camera. Thank you so much for coming on Talking Fast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Make sure you follow Yaz for all your inspiration. I do it for all of mine personally. I mean, we're not dressed the same right now, but I do take out the inspo from her all the time, like when I was in New York this weekend. But as always, you can listen to a new episode of Talking Fast every single Wednesday. Like, comment, follow, subscribe. No negativity here. And we will see you next week. Bye.